We have a couple of stories we want to get some insight from you on this morning. First, that tragic story out of Los Angeles where the device that has now been confirmed to be a grenade exploded, killing three Los Angeles Sheriff's Department detectives.
Yeah, that was pretty horrible. It appears that those grenades were part of a bag of grenades that were reported found in a storage unit by the current renter and apparently left behind by the previous renter. Believe it or not, Tony, that's actually a fairly common call for law enforcement. Oftentimes you have people that go to war, you know, for years back, you know, all the various wars that have occurred, and they bring back mementos. And what ends up happening is they get stored away in lockers or in bags, and they get put up in attics. And then when they pass along, family members stumble across them and don't know what they are. Sometimes they're, you know, they it's obvious what they are, like a grenade, but you have like a Claymore mine or things like that. And you know, they're dangerous, clearly. And in this case, it appears that that's how they came upon these grenades. And I know there's some reporting that they believed initially they were inert. And at some point, it appears that they began to cut into one of them, and that's when the explosion occurred.
What would normal procedure be when you find a device like this? Is it normally transferred back to that sheriff's facility?
It can be both. They can either detonate it on site. They have devices they can use to do that, or they can transport it back. It's all dependent upon what they believe, whether it was inert, which means can't explode, or whether it was a you know, some type of ordnance that could explode. So, you know, I think what they'll do is once the dust settles here, the Sheriff's Department will do an in-depth after-action report. They'll take a look at it and see if there was a policy to follow, which I assume that there was, and if it wasn't followed, what happened. And if it was followed and this still occurred, which could very well be the case, you know, how do they make sure it doesn't happen again?
And I would assume that these three officers were members of the bond squad and experts in this field.
Yes, they have an explosive and arson task force those people all highly trained. There's no rookies involved in those units. So, yeah, highly trained. And, again, it's a dangerous profession, and especially people that do that job. So, you know, you can't help but feel for, you know, you have three of them. There has been this many deaths in one day in the sheriff's department there since 1857. So now, clearly a pretty horrific day for them.
Now, I understand that you are familiar with that facility, that you worked nearby at one point.
Yeah, I've been there for I'm back in New York now, but I was there for several months for the wildfires working. And I've been in that facility and actually was working every day right across the street from it. So I'm very familiar with it, yes.
Another story we wanted to get some insight from you on this morning, Steve. New York State Police say the father of a 9-year-old girl who was initially the subject of an Amber Alert later found dead has now been charged with her murder.
Yeah, pretty horrific. So the story came in Saturday night. He reported that he was with his daughter and he stopped at the restroom to go to the bathroom. When he came out, she was gone, and he told police that there was a white van with two suspects, you know, seen taking off on Route 87. And of course, you know, the police quickly put out an Amber Alert and started searching the area. But during the subsequent interviews of him, they became suspicious of his story. It didn't seem to make sense. And fast forward to Saturday, they canceled the Amber Alert, and through some using some technology and some good old-fashioned police work and searching, they were able to recover her body about 15 miles north of Lake George in a town called Ticonderoga.
And they were vacationing in the United States from Canada?
That's what's being reported. They're from Canada. They came into the U.S., which if your listeners aren't familiar with that area, it's part of the Adirondack Mountains. So we're only a couple hours away from Canada. So they came down. They had been here for a period of time, and they were scheduled to go back to Canada that same weekend.
Steve, do we know, was the father, was he the custodial parent? I understand the father and the mother were separated or divorced. I'm not sure which.
Yeah, the custody was with the mother, and they apparently separated in 2019, and it's been reported that they were heading towards divorce. So hard to say what the motive would be. I don't know how you can ever have a rational motive for killing your own child if that's what happened here. But obviously it's all alleged. You know, we'll find out through the court proceedings where this goes from here. But, you know, it doesn't change the fact that you had a, you know, beautiful young 9-year-old girl that lost her life.
Just a very tragic situation. And it's my understanding that they had been on this vacation for a while. This was not their first stop.
Yeah, I think it was like 10 days. So they, you know, they, like I said, they were getting ready to go back. So this had been going on for a while. And less than an hour before police believe she was killed, she spoke with her mother over the phone and gave no indication that there was any distress. So it'll be interesting moving forward to see if the police are able to unpack what happened there.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for giving us your insight on these two tragic stories this morning.
It's good to be with you, Tony. Thank you.